So there's an old saying, it's more blessed to give than receive. I certainly think that's true. But many of us have trouble receiving graciously. We lived in Alberta on a big farm place, and I had a little old World War II era tractor, and in the winter the snow would just pile up and I would bang against my driveway and quarter mile long kind of a driveway thing and get frustrated and freeze in minus 35 trying to get the driveway clear in the morning. And every once in a while my neighbor, who was 3/4 mile away, that was our closest neighbor, he was a big cattle farmer and he had a John Deere tractor with a blade about as wide as this room. And just without saying anything, you just go, turn around, and just drive off. It was like a runway, you know, all my banging around. But you know what? It was hard for me to accept graciously. We made pies for them and, you know, thank you and everything. But you know, sometimes it's easier for us to give than it is to receive. We have to learn how to receive graciously. And tonight we want to talk about how do you receive a prophetic word that's given to you by someone else. So a lot of this course has been hearing and what do we do with it and how do we, you know, get it out and everything. But a big part of the prophetic is learning to receive a word that's given to us as well. So we want to think about that a little bit tonight. How do you receive a prophetic word given by someone else? Well, there's a great scripture in Matthew 10:41. Let's take a look there. And this is Jesus speaking in the context of his disciples, and he had been sending them out and the experience, and he was telling some things about what was to come. But even in verse 40, we'll start there. It says, "Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me, him who sent me." This is 41. "But the one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever gives a gift, one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will no means lose his reward." There's lots of different things about what that might be, that prophetic, what the prophet's reward is. But I think what I'm seeing in the context here is when we accept someone who God has a prophetic gift and God has brought them into our lives and we receive a word from them, we're receiving part of their reward, that intimacy with God, that hearing from God. And when we recognize it for that, we're sharing in that reward, just like for a righteous person as well. So, you know, we need to learn to, I think, to develop an expectation that God is speaking. And that's what was great about what took place this weekend, that you kind of felt, if you were there for the nights, there was sort of a building like, wow, you know, we're not just messing around here. God is, each night there was this growing sense. And I think that's a great part of our life, that we develop an expectation that God is speaking to us and that God will use other people to bring things to us too, that God wants to share with us. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. This is an interesting scripture. Interesting, I was thinking about it today, why he even had to write this, but it does tell us something about what was going on even early in the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I can go back. Yeah, 16 is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. And in verse 19, do not quench the spirit. And in 20, do not despise prophecies. Why would that need to be written, you know, only 30 or 40 years into the New Testament church? Don't despise prophecies. Well, there must have been something going on, even in the early church at that time, where people were starting to say, I don't want to mess with that anymore. I don't want it. It's too much of a hassle. It's too complicated. It's, you know, whatever the situation is. But he says, don't despise prophecies. Why would he say this? Well, I think because the prophetic can be messy. And we've said that at the very beginning of the course, if you remember, we said that this is not an exact science. And as we grow, we get things right and we screw things up and don't get them right. And mentioned that scripture at the beginning of the course in Proverbs 14:4. I love it. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. So do you like a nice, neat barnyard? Don't have a big oxen. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. You want a strong animal that produces things that also produces a mess, you know, that you have to clean up. And I think the prophetic, sometimes people want to have everything so neat and so perfect that we just tend to want to throw out the prophetic because it can be messy. But we're missing amazing power, I believe, when we make that mistake. The prophetic is such a powerful gift that God uses, and many of us can talk about times in our life when God's broken through and broken in and released chains and undone us because of prophetic words. Well, if we miss that, we'd be missing a lot in our Christian experience. It's easy sometimes to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I did a little bit of thinking this week about that word despise. Another way to say that is make of no account. And I'll show you a couple scriptures that are actually the same word. Luke 18:9. Hopefully this is just helpful to get a little bit of background. What does that mean to despise prophecies? Luke 18:9. This is the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And 9 says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous to treat others with contempt. So that's the same word. So remember the guy who was looking down his nose saying, oh, I'm not like that one. I tithe and I do all my stuff, right? And Jesus said, well, who's the one who went away justified? Not the one who came in and had his stuff all together. But he was looking down, treating others with contempt. Same word in our Thessalonians passage. Acts 4:11. So this is in the context of Peter and John in front of the council. This Jesus, the stone that was rejected, you builders, which has become the cornerstone. He's talking about Jesus Christ. This is in his defense. Here's the stone that was rejected by the builders. That's the same word. You've despised it. You said this is unimportant. You've thrown that stone aside, saying we're not going to build anything with that, meaning Jesus. Of course, he is the central cornerstone, so that's that same idea. You threw it aside. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:28, same word again. Speaking of worldly wisdom, in the context, Paul says, God has chosen what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So what is low and despised? That's a translation of that same word. So you're getting an idea maybe what the reality of this. Don't despise the prophetic. Don't despise prophecies. And I think, you know, probably a lot of us are not in the mode that we would be when we say I would despise the prophetic word. But I do think we can do that, even when we're sensitive to the prophetic. And here's a couple things. I think we can get in a situation where we don't believe that God could be speaking to us. And that's one way to despise the prophetic. You're just not anticipating that God is speaking, or maybe you're having a bad day, or you're going through a patch where you're not, you know, walking with God much, and you're not even listening to it. I think there you can despise the prophetic. You can miss the prophetic when God wants to bring it because you're not listening for it in your life. Sometimes you can be so excited about the experience, you know, maybe I would call that the buzz of getting a prophetic word, that you completely miss the message. It's all very exciting, and sometimes conferences or even stuff we've done at Oceanside, when there's a very strong prophetic gift, people are, you know, sitting down like, pick me, and then they're like, don't pick me, don't, you know, that feeling of pick me, but don't pick me, right? You know, and the excitement of a prophetic word, and some of you guys have shared words that were very significant in pretty big, you know, 200 or 300 people kind of context in your life. But you can get so excited about the experience that you can miss the message. And that's a way to despise the prophetic. We can receive a prophetic word, but fail to make any necessary course corrections, because we'll look at it in a minute. Prophetic is an invitation from God. So we can receive it and get all, you know, hair up in the back of our neck and, ooh, wasn't that exciting, but not really make it a change in our life or affect our life. I think that's a way of despising the prophetic. God reveals something to us and we don't follow through or act on it or change course on it. You know, just even basic things like not recording or retaining the prophetic word. It's such a benefit when you can go back and look at, like, you know, here's something 8 months or whatever, 7 months ago, just because that person took the time to write it down and I happen to have kept it. It's great to see. So I think sometimes we get prophetic words and we don't look back through them and pray back through them. And I mentioned earlier in the course, Dina, I had the experience in the last month where we put some pieces, sort of, Dina put some pieces on the table, four or five prophetic words over the last year that together, you know, didn't seem to be too big a deal. But when we put them all together, we thought, oh my goodness, it's like a puzzle. Lord, I see what you're doing. And you've been anticipating things that were coming that we couldn't have seen when those words were there. Well, if we had not retained those, it's a way of despising the prophetic. So we just want to be able to return and value those things. If God indeed is speaking to us, that would be precious, right? And I'm not that great about it. I don't have a super good system. I've got stuff on my computer and in my drawers, and I need to get better about that. But we can despise the prophetic in that way. Any thoughts or questions about this idea of despising the prophetic? Don't despise prophecies.
Yeah, just to confirm that God is really speaking to me, that was something that I got out of this course. I know it's kind of backtracking, but by not giving God the credit or the glory or acknowledging that He is the source or questioning who is the source,
yeah,
that's what I really needed and have found.
Awesome. It's a form of despising the prophetic. Yeah. You weren't sort of thinking you were worthy or whatever the issue was, or weren't recognized it, where now you are. So yeah, awesome. Any other thoughts about how we can despise the prophetic? Yeah.
I think the most grievous thing is that we then are actually offending the Holy Spirit by saying, well, I don't want to hear what you're saying. Well, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying because it actually is God talking to us.
Yeah. Or I don't want to hear that, I want to hear this, right? Sometimes the prophetic can be like that. I'm not interested in talking about that with you, but I certainly would like to know about this new job or whatever, right? But God is not like that. You know, He tells us things in order, and so we have to be willing to hear what He wants to talk about, right?
Good. To hear more from God, God's always speaking, but to be more maybe tuned into Him.
Yeah.
It's like we have to not just kind of hear it dings our ears, but to eat it.
Yeah. We talked about the day of small beginnings in this course, that sometimes God gives you a small prophetic word, and you're wanting four more steps or some big thing, but faithful in little is faithful in much, right? And so God gives more as we value and eat up the thing that He does give us. So, good. So let's talk about a prophetic word. And many times in sort of our circles here at NCMI and at Oceanside, if you've been around any of the teaching that's come through in some of the prophetic people, they talk about the prophetic word as an invitation many times rather than a declaration. So it's an invitation to see God's future and to prepare for God's future and to move into God's future. When I first heard that, the first person probably was probably Mike Hanchett that brought that a number of years ago. It sounded very strange to me because I always sort of thought prophetic was like cruise control. God says something and it's like an airline pilot puts it on autopilot. You know, you just punch in the destination and an airplane on, you can fall asleep. It automatically goes there, right? Or cruise control in the car, right? Or some autonomous self-driving vehicle, right? That once the prophetic is declared, it just happens. So just don't worry about it. But the more I have experienced that and seen people who walk in the prophetic, that actually it's an invitation. God is revealing something of His purposes, and we get to come into that. We get to see, first off, what God has planned, and then we get to prepare for God's future. Sometimes there's things in our lives that need to be adjusted. God has given us that prophetic word because we need to change, to make some shifts in our life so we'll be ready for what God is bringing, what God is doing, and then we get to move into God's future. So it's much more a cooperation than it is sort of like an automatic declaration. I'll show you a couple of... not just robots. Look at a couple of illustrations in Timothy in his life. Look at 1 Timothy 1:18, I think, of this principle. First Timothy 1:18, this is Paul later in life speaking to Timothy, who was one of the next generation of leaders coming through it. And Paul says, This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. So he's thinking back about some prophetic words that were spoken over Timothy in different contexts, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. So I think what Paul's saying is, don't forget those prophetic words that were spoken over you. You need to walk into those. There's an active part of what he's saying is, you're going to use those prophetic words in warring. You're going to cooperate with them. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just something that was deposited and it's done. He's reminding Timothy, stirring those things up. Look at 4:11 at the end of the book. A similar thing comes up. So 4:11 says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example of speech and conduct in love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders lay their hand on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. You see the ongoing cooperation in this prophetic cycle? Practice these things. Immerse yourself so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and many hearers. I just think these are two great examples of Paul reminding you, Timothy, these prophetic words were spoken over you, but you need to continue to walk in those and participate and move with what God is doing in those things, in the prophetic words. So see God's future, prepare for God's future, move into God's future. Any thoughts about that, about our cooperating with prophetic words? Joy, you're laughing.
Well, I was ignoring the Holy Spirit, and when we did the Holy Spirit, getting to know the Holy Spirit, I acknowledged that and said he was calling me into ministry. And I remember you saying, do you want prayer for that? And I remember saying, yes. And it was an authentic yes.
Yeah.
And it led to go to Mexico, mission trip.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I came back, words were spoken over me because I'm like, don't put me at the front of a church, please. But, you know, it's up to him. And were spoken over me that I would go to the nations. And I thought, oh, nations. But then when I went on a band trip with Rick in the February, and the Lord said, this is a mission trip, which yeah. meant instead of doing my own thing, I was now actually under Rick's protection. And every time I wanted to bolt ahead, he would say, like, hey, you can take 3 steps back,
yeah.
right? And learn to be obedient.
Yeah.
And then when we went to on our holiday in July, he said to me again, this is another mission trip. And that's where I met, saw the first fruits of going to Africa. But I didn't know I was going.
Yeah.
And I came back in July, and he said, remove every obstacle and go to the Congo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm learning now, like when he says rest, I rest, because I have no idea what the size of the next calling is or when or who or where I'll be.
See, that's the cooperating. Those things were spoken, but you had to adjust, you had to change, you had to work, cooperate with those. Yeah, good. Monique, you need to say something?
I think very often, if you like me, you can run ahead as well. So
sure.
I think it's important to make sure that we stay, because when in the prophetic, it feels like now,
yeah.
but it is not necessarily now.
Yes.
And the story about Isaac always comes back to me. If we try to do the things in the flesh,
just make something happen.
It
yeah.
messes happen, or you get tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Let's look at that Agabus prophecy for Paul. We talked about it briefly earlier in the course, but Acts 21, I said at that time we want to come back to that. And I think it's good for us to come back and think, now that we've done the course, to think about that prophecy in Acts 21. So this was when Paul was wanting to go back to Jerusalem. Agabus was, we mentioned Agabus a couple times, about maybe 3 or 4 times Agabus comes up. Pretty significant prophetic voice in the early church, prophesied, a famine that came about, and some pretty significant places where Agabus comes up in the New Testament. But in Acts 21:8, speaking of Paul, on the next day they departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the 7, and stayed with them. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While they were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns the belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So this is a pretty hectic prophetic word. You know, the guy takes his belt. And and when they heard this, we and the people urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. And this is an interesting prophetic example in the scripture because it talks about this sort of distinction between directive prophecies and confirming prophetic, or directive words and confirming words. So there are times in our life when we do receive prophetic words that are directive. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that we need to be cautious when we're giving words like that because, you know, they're weighty. But the difference between a directive word and a confirming word. And when you look at this word and think about what Agabus brought, he's not really saying don't go. You know, he's not saying, okay, now change your trajectory, run the other direction. I think it's a warning. Agabus saying this is what's going to happen. And I see that Paul sees that too. He says, I know that. It's a confirmation. I already know in my heart that there's trouble ahead in Jerusalem. The Lord had already showed him. He was going into the lion's den, so to speak, and of course ended up being in prison. And then it's a couple of years in limbo and then off to Rome. And, you know, that's the beginning of all that imprisonment that came. But this word, you know, wasn't, I think, primarily so much a directive word as a confirming word for Paul. And I just want to caution us, we need to be very careful about giving and receiving directive words. So let me give you some illustrations. Someone might say, you know, the Lord says you will marry that person. You know, that's a pretty strong prophetic word. And I have heard, had dealt with people that have, someone has said that to them, and of course that's pretty earth-shattering for them, right? And maybe, you know, they don't even like that person, or that person ends up getting, you know, married to somebody else or whatever. We just need to be very, very careful about directive words. We're saying, do this thing. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't bring those kinds of words, but we need to be really cautious about those. Here's another one I see so much, and I see a lot of wreckage from this one still. Maybe someone at 10 or 12 or 13 or 14 years old, someone brings a prophetic word and says, the Lord says you'll be a pastor. You know, that's a very directive kind of a word. And I've seen people that have gone on and been successful in business and God using them in the business, but they have this deep, deep guilt. And 30, 40-year-old, 50-year-old people say, I turned my back on that prophetic word. I knew I was supposed to be someone said I was supposed to be a pastor. And they've lived for this strange guilt all their life for this prophetic word where it just doesn't line up with what their life has turned out and even what their gifting and personality is, you know. So we just have to be really cautious about directive words. And so it doesn't mean that God couldn't give you a directive word, a prophetic word, but we need to be weighing that, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, about how we do that. But the difference between directive words and confirming words, you know, many times when God brings a prophetic word, it's like, oh, it's another piece of something he's already showing me in my spirit or through the word of God or in my experiences or through the leadership of the church or through the preaching. You know what I mean? God's bringing you in a direction and he's showing you a direction, and there's this word that comes alongside to bring a confirmation in that. You know, if we get a situation where there's a word that comes in and it's a complete way over here, then it's time for us to slow down. But I think, and we're going to talk about in a minute how to sort that out. But you see the difference between directive and confirming.
I think, and sometimes it can be totally feel like it doesn't suit you at all, and it really does. Like, I've heard a story about how someone prophesied that this woman was going to be a worship leader, and she was like, I'm tone deaf. Like, I have zero. Yeah. She's like, my husband is the one who's musically inclined. And then that word was spoken over her. As soon as she left the church, she heard a pop in her ears, and she lost that tone deafness and became a worship leader. Yeah.
So we tucked those away, but I just want you to see the difference between the two. And that's worth thinking about, this thing with Agabus, because a lot of people say, well, Agabus missed it. Actually, he didn't miss it at all. That's exactly what happened. But Paul understood what was, you know, the people that were there was like, oh, don't do it. Run around, turn the other way. Paul's like, no, I know what's coming. It was a confirming word in that. Let's go on. Let's talk about what we do with words when we get them. We have a responsibility when someone brings a prophetic word to us. We need to test and weigh that word that we receive. And why do we need to do that? Well, here's a good little quote. This is just from a book, Chris Vallotton. I think he's one of the original Bethel guys, but Basic Training in the Prophetic Ministry. There's some things that were helpful in this book. But he says, we should all want to faithfully share what God is saying without adding our human reasoning, our own interpretation, and our advice to any prophetic word we receive from the Holy Spirit. It's important, however, that we understand that all prophetic messages flow through a human vessel. This means that the prophetic word will be filtered through our experience, the teaching we received, our ethnic culture, our national origin, our gender, so forth. All of these elements are part of who we are, and unconsciously they flavor our prophetic words. This filtering process actually becomes part of the prophetic experience. In other words, when the Holy Spirit gives a word for someone, he's so brilliant that he actually factors in our unique accent, so it becomes part of the prophetic declaration. So we're talking about receiving a prophetic word, but what I'm trying to help you see in this quote is to say that it's coming through someone else. And it's important to recognize that we all get it right sometimes and we don't get it right other times. We mentioned the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, but let's look back about Paul talking about 1 Corinthians 13:8. And this is the Apostle Paul. I mean, if anybody you'd think would be getting stuff right, you know, he would be a good candidate. But 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face," meaning when we're in the presence of the Lord. "I now know in part, then I shall be known fully, even as I have been fully known." So I just think it's important for us to realize that it's even for the most experienced person who walks in the prophetic, sometimes you don't get things quite right. And that's part of the mess of the prophetic, and that's where we have grace for each other. But we have a responsibility when we receive a word to be able to weigh it out and to test it, because we all see dimly, you know. We're doing our best in giving prophetic words, but we have a responsibility in receiving a prophetic word. So what do? Well, the first thing we do is we test it. This comes out of 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Let's look at that one. Read that first part of this verse earlier tonight, but 5:21, I read 20, "Do not despise prophecies," but I want you to see what's after that. 5:21, "But test everything, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil." So we have a responsibility to test a prophetic word when it comes, when God brings it through someone else. This word test can be scrutinize, prove, examine carefully. In classical Greek, that word had to do with testing metal. So someone says, "This is gold. You know, it's worth a lot of money." There's a way to metallurgically test to see if that was actually gold. To coin, someone says, "This is an authentic coin. It's worth this." There's a way to examine the coin and say, "That's actually not a counterfeit." You know, this is the testing process where that word comes from. The same word comes up in Romans 12:2. I'll give you a couple more of these. Hopefully these are helpful tonight, but Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, his good and perfect will." That's that testing process, the same word that we're talking about here. 1 John 4:1, same word again. This is a scripture some of these scriptures we've been into before as well. But, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world." We talked about this, whenever that was, last week or the week before. So we test the spirits. It's that same word. So we need to test a prophetic word that comes. This is not a critical spirit. This is not, you know, I don't trust this. But it's our responsibility to be able to test a word that comes to us. And the primary test, if you want to know just a great way to start when a word comes to you, is, does it align with the Bible? Because if there's anything in that word that's contradictory to the Word of God, we know God is not schizophrenic. He doesn't say one thing and say another thing. He's entirely consistent. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So if we see something in a prophetic word that's contradictory to his word, at least that part of the prophetic, we have to say, you know what, I need to let that part go, because I know that's not something that God is inconsistent, okay? So we test it with his word. And, you know, a secondary test, some of the prophetic people talk about, does it witness with your spirit? So, you know, is there a sense in you, because you have the Holy Spirit present in your life, when there's someone else who's speaking by the Holy Spirit and bringing a prophetic word, there should be a witness in your heart. And maybe, you know, this is a hard one to explain, but when you hear a prophetic word that's for you and you sense God is in it, there's a sense like, okay, this is connecting with me. Even if you disagree with it, that's okay. I mean, it's like, whoa, I don't want to hear that. But you know, this is important. This is weighty. This is a God thing. That's that part in your spirit witnessing with what the Holy Spirit's doing in that word. And that's part of part of what you do when we test a word. So let's talk about this idea of testing a word as it comes to you. Questions or comments?
Can I say something? I got to the border of the Congo, and they took us into this room because they were scrutinizing our passports, and this big, mean-looking border guard looks up, and his heart just softens, and he looks at me and says, "You look familiar. Have you been here before?" I say, "No." And he said, "Well, then this must be your land, and this must be your people." And as we get into the taxi and we're driving, all I can see is the eyelashes of the taxi driver, and all I can think is, those are my dad's eyelashes. Eyelashes.
Yeah.
And then my brother has freckles, and there aren't many black people with freckles. We've always wondered, it's an anomaly. And then there I am, and we come by these people, and I see about three men that look exactly like my brother with the same freckles.
Yeah.
And the same nose, and I'm like, oh my God, you brought me to my land.
Yeah. That might have been a prophetic word from someone who doesn't even know Jesus, but you recognized it.
It was like, oh, that's I'm at the border, and that's how I'm going to be greeted. And I'm on and I said, we're on mission.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was just like, Lord, wow.
Cool. Other comments or questions about how do you test a prophetic word? Yeah.
You might come to this, but what about when somebody wants to lay hands on you and say a prophetic word? You mentioned it. You read it in 1 Timothy.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would test also? Like, would you actually just let somebody?
Yeah, you know, I'm much more interested in having people lay hands on me that I know love the Lord. If somebody's insisting on laying hands on you, that's a sign already that they need to take a chill pill. Because if they have something from God for you, you'll know. You know, and I always will ask people, hey, you know, okay, if I just pray for you this way, you know, and okay. And if somebody says, no, of course I don't need to do that. So if somebody's pushing you on that and you sense that, that's a test in a way too. You know, if they're coming on real hot and heavy, you know, and, you know, I have a personal thing. I don't, you know, let people, like, you know, do my head thing unless I know them. That's an authority thing for me, and sometimes I've seen that misused. And so, yeah, I think that's a test, Jeff. And if you're not comfortable with that, it's maybe the Lord's speaking to you. It doesn't mean they don't have something to say, but testing, yeah.
The voice of the Lord, we test in our own hearts when he's talking to us, whether we think, like when he's talking to us, we usually either don't know at all that he was talking, like we're not paying attention, or we definitely know that God's talking.
We're learning. Yeah.
And then there's other times when it's us who's talking. It's our fear or whatever. That's what I find for myself. And so I think I can, it kind of works the same when the voice of the Lord's coming through someone else or
it's
not. Your Holy Spirit just kind of...
You're learning as you grow in Christ. The voice of God, like I use the illustration, you know, when my dad calls me on the phone, half a syllable, he doesn't have to say, hi, I'm Harold Manfredi, your dad. I was like, you know, his first half a syllable, I know it, because I know his voice. And as we grow, we know the voice of God, and we can differentiate that between our own stupid thoughts sometimes or even the enemy coming at us, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a good illustration of the prophetic, too. As we grow in the prophetic, we recognize when the prophetic word is coming that it's okay, this is something that's coming from God. Even though I might not like what's being said, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm recognizing this is God. Yeah.
How much of the armor of God is needed to be used when you get a word for yourself? Like, if Satan can copy Jesus, then I was in your eyes with the false prophecies, but
yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying to ask.
Well, I think the armor of God is always important for us to be armored up and ready, regardless of what's going on. It is super helpful when there's someone coming under the guy, you know, wolf in a sheep's clothing, because the armor of God protects you in that too. So
so that can be a test as well.
Yeah, I think you would know, yeah. You know, the breastplate of righteousness, that's helmet of salvation, these are things that you recognize that something is not right here, you know, when what's going on in this situation. So, yeah. So let's go on to another one. So we need to test as a prophetic word comes, but we also need to weigh it. This is another piece of scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:29, that we would weigh a prophetic word. So this is in the context of, you know, public worship, and you know 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14, what's going on in the context there. But in 14:29, in public worship, it says, let two or three prophets speak, and let others weigh what is said. So we get this idea that, you know, in the midst of even the public worship service, there are people, and I think what the others are, not just other Christians, but specifically maybe those in the prophetic community, they're weighing out what's being said. You could translate that word weighing, judge through, or make a distinction is what weighing means. The same words in Matthew 16:3. This is, helps us to understand the word a little more. Matthew 16:3 says, "And in the morning it will be stormy, for today the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. This is this issue of, you know how to interpret. You know how to weigh what's happening in the world around you. That's the same word. So we need to weigh a word as it comes. We need to judge it, make a distinction, and bring it before the Lord. I think one of the best ways to think about anything that God brings in a prophetic word is to weigh it, to bring it before the Lord. Pray it through. Say, Lord, here's what is, you know, I'm receiving. Lord, I want to hear from you in this. It's sometimes we can dismiss prophetic words too quickly, or we can dismiss a word because it comes from someone who irritates us, right? Like, that person drives me crazy, and I, you know, they have a prophetic word for me. I'm like, already, my ears are like, la, 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 right? Well, how many of you know that God has used people like that that sort of drive you crazy, who you don't think are like, you know, the A-team prophetic, but brings a genuine word, and God brings those. So I think we need to be able to listen to those things and pray them through with the Lord. Or the subject matter is something that's unpleasant for you. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want you talking about that, or how dare you, or, you know. Wait on that just a second and bring it before the Lord. Weigh it with the Lord. Listen to the Lord in that thing. And I think we need to keep the kernel and spit out the husk. You know, in prophetic words, there are sometimes that there's portions of prophetic words which are very helpful and some which maybe they didn't get quite right. But when we weigh that before the Lord, we bring it before the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ask God, God shows us, okay, this is something that's not so critical. This is the husk, but there's something in there that's still the kernel, which is still good. Salvage the good and discard the useless is another way to say it. But we can't do that unless we're processing and weighing out that prophetic word that's coming to us. So thoughts about that? Weighing. Weighing out. You know what I mean when I'm talking about weighing the word of the prophetic words? Comments or questions about that?
Well, we can pray about it after, too.
Of course, we should.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, Lord, show me. Yeah. Yes. I just wanted us to see that we don't just blindly accept what someone says, thus saith the Lord in our lives. I'm not saying we're being arrogant or we're not despising prophecy, but we have a responsibility to listen through with God what's being said to us, because we all get it right sometimes, like Paul says, right? So we have a responsibility to weigh those things out. Yeah, that's right. And again, in one thing, if God's doing a whole bunch of stuff in your life and there's something that comes way off in the right field, that's something you especially need to weigh and maybe get some help from some other people and say, you know, this doesn't connect. You know, maybe it's not for now. Maybe it's just wrong. Maybe it's just that person didn't get it right. And again, we have to have grace for each other in that and to know that it's like, wow, you know, thanks for doing that. And then you sort that out for God and say, you know what? It doesn't seem like that's really something for now, and tuck it away.
And I don't think it hurts to ask God for some more.
Yeah, sure. Like, I don't think that's right. Of course, yeah. Yeah, Lord, if this is you speaking, I hadn't really thought of this.
Right.
Lord, will you help me in some other areas? And God loves to answer that. Many people already in these 3 months have said, you know, this thing was going here, and God brought this in, and then God brought this in, and, you know. He's confirming his word, right?
Speaking to you.
Yeah.
Like he just drops and that's it. He's not done. He wants to continue
that's right.
That communication.
That's right. Sure. That's great. Just to say, hey, Lord, you know, I think I'm hearing this right, but I sure would like some clarification, and God will bring other things in too, from the word and other prophetic things. Good, Jeff. Other thoughts about weighing out the prophetic?
I suppose, Mark, it's also the discerning the heart behind the person giving the prophetic word.
Yes.
We don't know, but it is important to sense God's heart in the person as they bring that word. Because if it is a word of direction or correction, it obviously will come sounding a bit firmer, but it would always come from a heart of love. People do receive stuff that they shouldn't because it comes, right. Hammering down on them. But,
yeah. And remember how many times we've talked about when you're bringing prophetic words, watch out for your own anger, watch out for your own disappointment, watch out for your own manipulation, those things. Well, that can be happening to someone even when they're trying, and so that's where the sensitivity comes to say, wow, a lot of anger there, but I'm not sure it's about me, And I've certainly had people, bring prophetic words, especially in a role kind of as a pastor. I get the feeling they're dumping a whole bunch of truck on me that has not too much to do with me, probably. I still want to pray about it and learn from it, but, Lord, there's some pain in that person's life. Do I have a role in helping them through that? Maybe it's sometimes how I look with that too, right? Good. So prophetic word's an amazing gift from God, and just want to encourage us in all the time we've spent talking about giving prophetic words that we also need to be people who learn to receive prophetic words. They're an invitation for us to come into alignment with God's purposes, see God's future, prepare for God's future, and move into God's future. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the amazing gift of the prophetic. And Lord, I thank you for the treasures that you have given each of us in prophetic words. Lord, help us to get better at just anticipating and looking forward to and receiving and weighing and then being obedient to what you're speaking through us as well. Lord, we thank you that you just do this all around us. And that you're the God who communicates. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this course. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your purposes, Lord. And I just thank you for what's yet to come. Amen.